Welcome back to Between Two Aeroids, a podcast where we talk about botany, houseplants, and everything in between. I hope your week has gone well. I have just been up to working. I put up some shelves today for the first time, and I'm kind of enjoying a shelf look right now more than I am like a shelf that's on the floor. I'm a little proud of myself because I've yet to put up shelves. Anyway, today's episode is going to be about poinsettias. I felt it was the right time. We're coming on to Christmas. You're seeing them more and more in stores. I learned a lot about it. I'm going to break this up into three different sections: botany, houseplants, and then everything in between about poinsettia. So with botany, the actual botanical name is Euphorbia pulcherrima. Excuse my pronunciation. I tried to look up the correct one and I could not find it online. But this means very beautiful, and it was assigned by the German botanist Willeno. Grew through the crack of his greenhouse, and he saw the beautiful blooms, and he decided to start growing it himself. And later in time, during the 14th and 16th century, the Aztecs called them
Tlazochin.
And they used the poinsettia. They used poinsettias during the 14th and 16th century through medicinal purposes with their sap, which we'll get into later on a lot of the myths behind the toxicity of poinsettias. And they also use the bracts, those bright reds, as a dye for clothing and other things. The color we have known and love today, the fullness of the what we consider flowers, which are their bracts. And that's where all of that red comes from. Their flower is actually a small yellow-green, and they kind of push up and look a little bit like lips as they mature. These are actually the flowers. They're in the center of the bracts or false leaves. You can see when the male flower emerges, he's holding a small little bit of pollen, little flaky. Once they shrivel up, a single female flower emerges, and they look a bit like red hair, their stamen does. And they do not self-pollinate, just for genetic variation and able to be resistant of different diseases and more things than if they kept within the same family. Family talking about like mother and father as being the same. The original poinsettias that you would find in the wild usually have just one single bloom and are pretty compact in size. What we know today as the multi-bloom is the result of a phytoplasm, which is also like a bacteria within the plant. And it lives in the plant and it creates these dense and branching characteristics that we know today as poinsettia. They have been grafted and cultivated and selected by humans to have this phytoplasm so they can look super full and bushy throughout their flowering period. And now for how we have gotten these into our homes as houseplants, especially during the Christmas time. They also can be landscape in some areas. John Barartman is known for being the first person to sell poinsettias in its botanical name, the Euphorbia pulcherrima. If you guys know how to pronounce that correctly, please send it my way in a voice message on Instagram. There's also a lot of misinformation about their toxicity and their poisonous levels. The rumor is said to have begun with an unbacked story back in 1919 when an army officer of a two-year-old and his child allegedly died after eating a poinsettia leaf. It was tested by the Society of American Florists with the Academic Faculty of Entomology at Ohio State. They tested all parts of the poinsettia on rats. They found that they had no mortality, no symptoms of toxicity, and no changes in dietary intake or behavioral patterns. There was also a study on from a health organization. I will link where I got this information below if you would like to do your own research. However, it has been proven through studies that poinsettias are not as toxic as some may believe. But once we get them in the grocery store, or maybe you get them from a Christmas event for your kid or work event, how do you care for them in home? So they need pretty bright light. They would do best in indirect sunlight or very early morning sun. They just can't take super harsh late day sun. So at least 6 hours of that type of light. And then you're going to want to keep the soil moist, but you really have to make sure that you either poke holes in that foil that they usually come in so you can drain properly, or that you are taking the tin foil off that comes with it and letting it drain all the way through. I would not suggest fertilizing when they are in that flowering stage. They do not need it. It will drop. And once it drops, you can start again the fertilizer. These guys are short day bloomers. So when you are keeping them past the time that they are blooming, still care for it. It should still have foliage, but they won't have that bright red foliage. Around October 1st, you're going to want to put them in complete darkness from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m., they're short day bloomers, so they react to shorter day lengths in order to bloom, unlike most of our perennials that like long days and lots of sun. Are also very sensitive to cold, so you want to keep it in a warm spot in your home. Make sure it's not getting a draft from a window that might be open time to time, or a door that gets open often than not. And so how did it actually become a houseplant that we decide to keep through Christmas, or if we decide to nurture it all the way through the seasons? Joelle Roberts Poinsett was the first United States ambassador to Mexico, and in 1828, he found a shrub with large red flowers. He took cuttings, and then he mailed them back home to his greenhouse in South Carolina. One, I just want to know how that shipping went in 1828 of a poinsettia. I do not think they would be that hardy, but that's pretty freaking amazing. We just recently sent out a plant at work for the first time, and honestly, we've been really lucky with this weather, and it's still been warm enough, but we just got news it came there perfectly, and it's exciting to, it's just always nerve-wracking in these times when you can get a random snowstorm or can get cold from the states that it's moving to. So I just want to know Joelle Robert Poinsett's tips on packaging and sending out plants in the mail. How then did it get associated with Christmas? Well, it is native to Mexico and Guatemala areas. They became synonymous with Christmas there, and a lot of the priests would put them around the church. The legend goes that a little girl named Pepita was sad she didn't have any money or a gift already planned for baby Jesus in the nativity scene, but her cousin had reassured her that any present would be the best gift for Jesus. So while she was walking to church that night, she saw some weeds on the side of the road. She picked the poinsettia, put it at the nativity scene, and in a couple days it began to bloom. It's also known the flower of the night, the star of the night, I will. And how did it become commercialized in the United States? The Ecke family is known to have popularized them. They were using them in landscapes in Southern California. My mom actually just told me today the story of the Valley Poinsettias, and I guess under the Sepulveda Boulevard Pass in around the 1920s, you could see like just fields of poinsettias that were blooming. They started to send them to TV studios across the country, like the Bob Hope Holiday Specials and the Tonight Show. And just like with most consumerism and the U.S., once people saw it on TV, they wanted to have it in their homes. In my personal experience, if you are not giving it specialized care, if it's sitting in a large restaurant, maybe they're dim lit, maybe they're just not getting the light they need, or even if you're working in a nursery, they are very difficult to care for and keep beautiful through the season at large volumes. You really can't get their leaves wet with a little bit harsher water. They'll leave spots, they'll leave stains. They're for very large ones, like ones that are 4 feet across. There are special sleeves that you have to have for them that are tilted a certain way. You have to have them in a cage. So most of the poinsettias you see are being propped up on like a little cage, tomato cage like structure. They will drop their flowers. They usually get thrown out and not kept as a plant throughout the seasons, which is a little bit unenvironmentally friendly and kind of wasteful in terms of nature. And also, you just have to think about all the foil that gets used for them, all the plastic just from the cages they have. It just doesn't seem like a long-term plant for a lot of people. If I am wrong, please point me to some, because I would love to hear their tips on how they've kept theirs alive, because I've just known anyone. Many people just don't either want to spend that time October to December making sure they're in complete darkness there but still getting a little bit of light. But they're just hard to keep in a greenhouse with lots of them, because they need very kind of closer care than just most of your aeroids or the things like that. And I originally didn't know that they were euphorbia, so that was really something interesting to learn. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for staying for that little ramble I just had. If you're not already, follow me on Instagram at @BetweenTwoAeroidsPod. I love to talk to you guys and just be able to about how you care for your plants. Also, that's where I'll update if I'm not posting an episode. I also post infographics on there that correlate to certain episodes, so you can kind of have a quick refresher instead of having to listen to this whole thing. But there are more tidbits and little fun facts on the audio version rather than just the Instagram media pick version. And I hope you guys all have a really great day. Thank you so much for listening, and I really appreciate all the support I've had. Have a great day, night, or evening, wherever you are.